Welcome to The Truth About Lending. I'm Melinda Payne, the president and owner of The Truth About Lending. I've been a licensed mortgage broker for over 25 years and bring you clear and straightforward insights on everything from securing your initial home purchase to refinancing your house or obtaining condo financing in Florida's dynamic lending market. Now let's get into The Truth About Lending. No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Lunch and Learn. And we're going to be talking about condo financing, embracing changes and challenges. So this is a pretty important video. We're going to talk about condo financing in Florida. Why is condo financing different and what are the challenges and changes that have happened over the years? And we're going to really break it down into very easy to understand pieces because it is complicated and you really do need an expert to be able to walk you through every step. So condo financing is different in Florida than the rest of the country, specifically because we have so many condos in Florida. There's a higher concentration of condos in Florida, really, than according to Fannie Mae, than any place else in the country. So 49 states have easier guidelines than the state of Florida, where the one state that is still under pretty much a lot of scrutiny compared to the rest of the country. And this all happened back in 2008 through 2010 when the crash happened or the economic crisis happened many years ago. Condos were affected much more dramatically than single family homes because a lot of people ended up not paying their dues. And if you have a lot of people not paying their association dues, it affects other people who are paying their association dues. So lenders feel that there's an inherent higher risk with condos in general, and there's an even higher risk in the state of Florida because of the concentration of condos. So the changes initially started a long time ago. And then there were some even more stricter or more stringent changes that happened in reference to property condition that happened after the whole Surfside incident a few years ago. So let's just back up for a second and talk about what is different with a condo than with a single family home and what those key things are. So first of all, a condo has to go through an underwriting process that is unique from you as an individual. So if you're looking to buy a condo, we're not just looking at your income, your credit, your finances. We're also looking at the condo association itself. So it's a separate process. It's a separate underwriting process than underwriting you as an individual. And it's important that you understand that regardless of your strength financially, that even if you have perfect credit and you're making $1 million a month and you have a huge down payment, there is still a process that the condo has to go through. Now, the process is different depending upon the down payment. There's a little bit of an easier process with a higher down payment, and the amount of that down payment is determined on what the occupancy intention is. So if you're going to live in the property as your primary residence, then usually the down payment requirement is 25%. And if it's going to be an investment property or a second home, the down payment requirement is 30%. Now, when I say down payment requirement, I mean in order for the process to be easier. That doesn't mean that you can't put down 3% or 5%. It just means that the condo underwriting is easier. They ask less questions when you put down the higher down payment. So just to kind of recap, you can put lower money down on a condo, but then the condo has to go through a much stricter process called a full review. It's called a full condo review. And what that means is that they're going to ask many more questions. They're going to ask questions about the budget that may not or will not be asked if you're putting down 25%. They're going to have different insurance requirements that May not be needed if you're putting down 25%. So because of that, as a function, many agents or many listing agents, especially in Florida, have listed their condos for sale with a minimum down payment required of 25%. Now, it may or may not be something that is accurate. This is just something that's perceived to be an easier process, which it is. It is an easier process, but that condo may or may not have been able to get financing with a lower down payment. It's just that most agents believe that the process is so much easier, which it is, with 25% down. So they list the condo with a requirement of 25% down, which again, may or may not be accurate because maybe the condo would have passed for a lower down payment, which is called a full review. But most agents are basically just trying to err on the side of safety and cautiousness. And so that's why they're saying, hey, we want 25% down payment. We won't accept an offer without a 25% down payment. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the differences here. So you have two different underwriting processes for a condo. Remember what I said, this is not different on your credit score or your income. So your income, your credit score requirements are a completely different situation. That's a completely different underwriting process. The underwriting for condo is based on many different things, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But on one side, we have something called a full review, which allows somebody to put down as little as 3%. And then the other side, we have something that's called a limited review, which would allow somebody to put down 25% or more. And in that situation, on a limited review, the questions that are asked, the process of the underwriting itself is easier than on the full review side. So there are many condos that may not pass a full review, but can pass a limited review. And that's why you will see a lot of agents asking for 25% down. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about what determines if a property is a condo or not. So of course, if it's a condo and you're looking at an actual condo, you know it's a condo. But what happens when a townhouse is a condo association? And you may say to yourself, hey, Melinda, a townhouse is a townhouse is a townhouse. Why would it be a condo? Well, when associations or homeowners associations are set up with the builder initially, some builders in the beginning decide that they're going to set up the association as a condo association as opposed to a homeowners association. This is something that's usually established at the beginning of the project when it's built. So there are several townhouses that were initially set up as a condo association. The way that you can tell this is you can either have your agent check this, you can ask us to check this, or you could check this by going to the property appraiser's website and seeing if the word condo is in the legal description. We certainly encourage you to have one of us or your agent check this just to be certain, because you may view the property as a townhouse, which is also known as a fee simple property. But if it's a condo association, the property from a lender's perspective is going to be viewed the same as a 10-story condo that's on the beach. So it's really important to understand this, because you may be thinking, hey, I'm going to see this townhouse, this is great, and you may not be prepared to put a higher down payment. But if you were to know ahead of time that this is actually a townhouse that has a condo association, you might not want to go see that property. So it's super important to check that out. That way you don't waste your time and you're not setting up unrealistic expectations, because we do see this come up a lot. There's a lot of associations for townhouses that are set up as condo associations. One of the key things that you can look at is how much is the association fee. If it's a really, really high fee, and includes the exterior insurance of the building or the exterior insurance of the townhouse is covered by that association fee, usually it's a condo. That's a good indicator that it's set up as a condo and your financing is going to be different. Okay, so let's talk about what does an underwriter look at during the underwriting process for a condo? And what should you guys be asking your agents, or if you're an agent, what you should be asking the association when you're looking at condos? Now, there is something called the Condo Property Management System. It's known as the CPM. This is something that's like a list of all the condos that have either been approved or denied through Fannie Mae for conventional financing. This is something that we can check and see if that condo has made it through the process to hopefully save you time. If it hasn't made it through the process, has it been considered denied or not available for financing? These are all things that we can try to screen in the beginning. So if you have found a particular condo and you want us to check that, please reach out to us. We actually have a help desk called the Florida Condo Help Desk that is dedicated solely for this purpose to try to streamline the process. It's really helpful so that we can take a look and see if it is on that list. Now, what's interesting is that list is not something that encompasses every single condo. So there are times that a condo has not even applied to Fannie Mae to be approved, and they may have gone through an approval process just at a specific lender. And that lender is not necessarily applying to Fannie Mae to have the entire condo property approved. They're just trying to get that one deal through. So what happens is that we may see, because we're licensed with so many different lenders, we may be able to cross-reference, or we are able to cross-reference that condo with many other lender lists to see, do we have a lender that this condo has made it through the process, even if it's not in the Fannie Mae list? There's a lot of condos that are not in the Fannie Mae list, but maybe it was approved with Rocket Mortgage, or maybe it was approved with this bank, or maybe it was approved with that bank, or maybe it was denied with one of these people. And why was it denied? So really an important step to take is to have us check on the condo association and see if there's anything that we can find. So that way it saves you guys a lot of time. The last thing we want you guys to be going through is for you to be paying for an appraisal, paying for an inspection, and then $1,000 later, we find out that there's an issue with the condo. Now, there are things that we can ask upfront that can help us screen the process to be able to determine whether or not a property could be eligible for financing, but we really can't ask every single question. There are a lot of things that the associations may not tell us until they've actually filled out a condo questionnaire. They can tell us some limited things, which are really kind of the key questions, but it's important to know that not every single question can be answered. And so there is still some risk involved with going forward with the condo, even if you answer all of these questions, or even if the association answers all of these questions. So let's delve a little bit further into what are the questions, okay? We're going to have a list of these questions posted with the video once we post the video. So we'll be able to reiterate those questions. So if you're about to grab a pen and pencil, don't worry. We're going to post those once we post the video. So first of all, the very first thing is about checking the Fannie Mae approved list. I just mentioned that. Have us check it, have us cross-reference it. The second thing is that checking the budget. It's actually Florida law that if you put a condo under contract that the seller is supposed to provide you a copy of the budget, the finances, the association documents, rules, and regulations within 3 days of you getting under contract. Now, there's some waivers you can do and all that. That's real estate law, and I'm not going to get into that part of it. But you're realtor should be able to find out, do they have reserves? Does the association have reserves in the budget? What is reserves? What does that mean? Are they putting money aside for a rainy day? What if there's a hurricane and the roof flies off and they have a deductible with the insurance? What type of savings or reserves does the association have? So What happens with condos is that in order to be considered a stronger association, they are required to have 10% of their annual revenues in reserves. So whatever their total revenues are for the entire association, 10% of that should be in reserves and should be collected on an annual basis, like an ongoing reserves that they're collecting for. Now, there's some changes that have happened with Florida law after what happened with Surfside that have given certain dates in the future over the next few years where associations are now going to be required to have reserves or a reserve study. And we're going to explain that here in a second. But basically, as a result of Surfside, things are changing with condos. The associations required to collect more. They're required to show that they're financially more sound. And as a result of that, we're going to start seeing more condos passing a full review where they're going to allow financing with less of a down payment because the condos will pass more of these criteria to be able to allow financing with less money down. In my opinion, I think condo prices are going to go up in the long run because if somebody has the ability now to be able to buy a condo with 3% down instead of 25% down as a result of these laws changing, I think we're going to see more demand for condos really as a form of affordable housing because right now there's a lot of people that would love to be able to buy a $200,000 or $300,000 condo. Especially in South Florida, but don't have the 25% down, but they have the 3% or they have the 5% down. So I think this is going to really help the affordable housing situation that happens in South Florida. But in Florida in general, what you really want to ask is how much reserves? Do they have reserves? Get a copy of the budget. Send it to us. Send it to your loan officer. Send it to myself. Send it to our team. Let us look at the budget and then we'll be able to tell you. Absolutely, they have reserves. That's great. Maybe you can put down less than 25% or they don't have any reserves or they have very little reserves, whatever the case may be. Now, let's say they're collecting less than 10% of the annual budget in reserves. There is something called a reserve study that they may or may not have that basically explains to the underwriter why they feel they can collect lower reserves. Now, you may say to yourself, Melinda, why is this important? Why are we talking about this? Guys, if you're putting down less than 25% and they don't have reserves, you may not be able to get a conventional loan. Now, there's a few little workarounds that we have, which we will discuss on a one-on-one basis, depending on your own personal situation. But for the most part, you would have to put down 25%. So it's pretty important if you're a buyer out there looking for a condo and you only have 5% or 3% to put down, this is a pretty important step. Do they have 10% of their annual budget in reserves? If they don't, then you know that not even to waste your time with that particular condo. Okay. The next question that should be asked, or we hope can be asked, is there any outstanding litigation against the association? Now, the agents might not know the answer to this. The listing agent may be able to ask the association this question, but sometimes this is a question that the association won't answer until they actually get the condo questionnaire from us, which is a form that they have to fill out. There are some things that we can do to try to snoop around and see, like we can go into the clerk of the court and put in the name of the association and see if there's outstanding litigation. And if there is outstanding litigation, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the world. It could still be a loan that could be done. It just depends on the scope of the litigation. It depends on if it's a slip and fall accident and the general liability insurance for the litigation is the general liability insurance is covering the litigation. These are all really important things to understand because let's say it is a situation where there isn't, there's a litigation case and the general liability insurance isn't covering it. Then that means you could end up with a higher special assessment or some type of special assessment, which a special assessment is when the association has a one-time amount of money that they need to collect to cover something. to cover either a lawsuit that was won against them, or work on the property, or if they need to increase their insurance coverage, whatever it is. You want to know if there's any outstanding litigation that could cover a special assessment, because you're going into this thinking you're buying this condo that has a $600 a month association fee. But if there is a litigation case that could ultimately change your $600 a month association fee to $1,100 a month, because everybody has to contribute $500 a month for 10 years because of this case or whatever the case may be, you need to be aware of this. It's really important to understand how these things can affect you, which is the reason why we have to ask these questions. Okay. So speaking of special assessments, the next question really is, are there any outstanding special assessments? And if so, what are they for? Are they for the fact that the cost of insurance is increased and they just need to collect some extra money to cover the difference, which is fine. Are they for work that needs to be done on the property? Well, now we start getting into this area where sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of a gray area. Is this just maintenance work that they're collecting the money for because they need to paint the building and repave the driveway and parking lots out there? Or is this structural work that there's a safety issue? So one of the things that changed after the whole Surfside situation is that Fannie Mae came in and said, hey, we are going to require something called a safety addendum, where the association has to fill out a form saying, are you aware of any structural concerns? Are you aware of any work that's not completed? What is going on there that we should be aware of? Now, sometimes the associations will fill this out with no problem. And then sometimes certain associations will say, per our legal counsel, we are not going to answer that. And then there are other ways that we have to try to verify this information. So it's really important to understand if there are any special assessments. Now, here's a really big misconception. Let's say there's a special assessment and the unit you're buying has a balance of $15,000 on this special assessment. And you're like, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to take responsibility for a special assessment that happened when the seller owned the property. And I want the seller to pay this $15,000 special assessment so I don't have to pay it, which is, of course, a great negotiation point. And let's say the seller goes ahead and pays that special assessment, and now there's no special assessment that is assessed to your particular building, your particular unit, okay? The unit you're buying, the seller is going to pay a special assessment. So that's, from your perspective, there's nothing for you to deal with. Well, that doesn't change the fact that the building or the association as a whole has a special assessment for something going on in the building. So it's really, really important we know, what is it that's going on? Are they in the process of doing concrete restoration, which is a big thing that scares lenders? Is there a new roof that's being put on? Is it a safe building? And if so, where are the last inspection reports? When's the last time the building was inspected? And can you provide us copies of these reports? Now, some of the other laws that had changed after Surfside is that they changed how often buildings are to be inspected. What that means is that in certain counties prior to Surfside, there was a 40-year inspection, or different years at different year increments that the buildings had to be inspected by the county and to make sure they were safe to live in. Now, those inspection periods have changed dramatically. The closer you are to the beach, the shorter those time periods are. And so we want to know, did the building pass whatever year milestone inspection it is? Now, was it a 20-year inspection because it's closer to the beach? Is it a 40-year or 50-year inspection? Whatever the case may be, we want to ask them to provide us a copy of the last inspections. Now, this is going to be asked for regardless of the down payment. It's important to understand that we are just doing this to to protect you guys, because if it didn't pass the last inspection, you need to know why. What is going on? Is there some type of special assessment coming? Is there work that needs to be done in the building that may make it inhabitable for a short period of time? Or are there safety concerns that the county had? Whatever the case may be, this is all information that we're asking with this safety addendum that is filled out. Now, this safety addendum is required regardless of whether it is a full review or a limited review. Remember, a full review, low down payment, limited review, 25% or more down payment. This safety addendum is required either way. So it's really important that all of this is discussed up front, because you see, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to condos. And I know you're thinking to yourself, wow, Melinda, this is really a lot of information, but you have to understand that this is an important understanding that you need to have, because things like your financing contingency. So when, you know, after you get past your financing contingency, or however time the financing contingency is, how long you have to get a loan. Okay. And after that time period expires, your deposit is non-refundable. So all of these things have to be determined within that financing contingency. Now, your inspection contingency for you to inspect the house, they run or start at the same time as the financing contingency. So if you have a 7-day inspection period and a 30-day financing contingency, that 7-day window has already started. By the 7th day, you have 23 days left on your financing contingency. So they all start or run concurrent, okay? The reason why this is important for you to know is that certain things like your inspections and your appraisals, some of those things will probably have to be paid for before you may know some of these answers, okay? And so there's an inherent risk that the condo may or may not pass, and you've spent a few hundred dollars on inspections, $500 or $600 on a appraisal, and you may be $1,000 into it, and we may not really have every single question answered. So we really try to ask as many of these questions up front to see what kind of information that we can get, because if we know one of these answers up front as much as we possibly can, we can either remove that condo from a list that you might be interested in, or tell you, hey, we can breathe a little bit easier because we see that it's made it through the process with another lender, or it's on the condo property management system as approved, whatever the case may be. We will be able to communicate that to you. But there's so many that we don't know. Like, for example, not every one of these is on the list. So it may end up falling into this, well, we're just going to have to go through the process type of situation, which is the reason why we want to try to ask as many of these questions up front. Even if we think that we may not get all of these answers, at least we can get some of these answers so that we can find out as much information in the beginning. For example, when we're asking if an association has litigation, again, this is not something that the agents or maybe even the seller knows. There's ways that we can check on the clerk of the court, or at least try to check as much as we possibly can. So it's important that all of these questions are asked in the beginning. It's very important that you run any condo by the loan officer that you're working with, which would hopefully be myself or somebody from our wonderful team. But going into a condo blindly without asking some of these questions about the finances is something that is a very concerning situation, because there are a lot of lenders out there that are not fully disclosing the process or making sure that you understand, you as a condo buyer, understand how it's broken down. So we always want to try to do as much as we possibly can before you actually go under contract to try to really mitigate any losses or time situations that you may have. So let's talk a little bit about the condo rules themselves. So let's say you find a condo that you love and you want to go forward with, and you say to me, Melinda, look at this condo. And either myself or one of my loan officers, we look the condo up and we have great news. Hey, this condo is fully approved. It's approved for a full review. It's approved by Fannie Mae. You could put down as little as 3% or 5% or a really low down payment. But let's say that condo has a rule within its own governing body as a condo association that says that they will not approve any buyer that is putting down less than 20%. Their rules overrule the financing rules. So if their condo association requires a 20% down or a 25% down or a certain down payment for you to be approved by the association, that overrides anything that we're doing. So another really important question to ask or to have your agent ask is there a minimum down payment that the association requires? Remember, it's not us, that the association requires for approval. So these are really key things to ask when you're looking for a condo. Again, we're going to put all of these questions and points in the video when we post it. We'll list it on the bottom so that way you can refer to all of this. But it's super important to ask those questions because we could be working to get you the maximum financing with 3% or 5% down. But if the condo association won't approve you, then it really kind of negates what we're doing. So it's super important. Now, let's talk about interest rates with condos. Interest rates with condos are slightly higher, somewhere between an eighth to a quarter percent, depending upon the down payment. They are slightly higher than with a single family home or with a townhouse that's considered an actual townhouse and not a condo association. And the reason why is because going back to what I talked about initially is that Fannie Mae views condos as more of a concentrated risk because other homeowners in that building could affect your strength because of the fact that they're all paying into the same association as you. So there's a slightly higher risk. So the condo rules are, the condo financing is a little bit higher on the interest rate. Now, let's talk a little bit about insurance for condos. Okay, very important to understand. Condos have what's called a master insurance policy. And then you're required to have an interior insurance policy. Now you say to yourself, hey, what the heck is the difference? So let's say a hurricane comes and blows your window of your condo in and the window is broken. And then during the process, something flies into the house or flies into the condo and destroys your television and your countertops in your kitchen, and there's water everywhere inside the condo. The window itself is the exterior, so it's covered by the master association. The interior damage is covered by your interior insurance policy. So there are two separate insurance policies that you need to have. One is an exterior policy that is through the master insurance, and then the other one is through your own insurance policy that you purchase, which you can use whoever you want to insure the property, and that's an interior policy. Now, there still is insurance inspections required even for the interior policy. So, for example, in Florida, they're still going to want a wind mitigation inspection, which basically tests the strength of the building against hurricanes. And do you have shutters or impact windows on the windows for the condo? They're still going to want that, even if it's just for the interior policy. So it's super important that you still get a wind mitigation inspection, even if it's just for the interior insurance. You can ask the building if they have a recent one. You can ask the seller if they have a recent one, but this is something for you to discuss with your insurance agent so that you can make sure that you're preparing yourself correctly. There is a significant discount, I understand, with insurances, but it's important that you have that inspection. Now, let's talk a little bit about the master insurance, because lately there's been a lot of associations that have changed their master insurance because of the costs going up with insurances. So insurance in Florida is expensive to begin with, but insurance with condos has recently gone up quite a bit also as well. And so there's many associations that have actually increased their deductible to 10% as opposed to 5%. And when that happens, that basically makes the property ineligible for financing for a conventional Fannie Mae loan. In order to get financing for a conventional Fannie Mae loan, they have to have a 5% deductible, not a 10% deductible. Now, there are other types of financing available that are really pretty much portfolio loans. They're for what we call non-warrantable condos, basically condos that don't pass the Fannie Mae process. There are other options available. As many of you know, we do have a lot of mortgage options available, not just the Fannie Mae conventional financing, but we also have alternative or portfolio financing. Those are typically at a higher rate. They may be with a higher down payment, but it does allow you to be able to purchase the condo with the problems that you may be facing to go with a conventional loan. So it's important for us to explain to you that these are all many different factors that come into play when purchasing a condo, that we look at the entire picture. So if there's a way that we can request a copy of the master insurance policy up front, or whatever we can do to try to review this in the beginning, we'll be able to very quickly tell if there's a problem with being able to get conventional financing. So a lot of you guys probably are thinking, okay, you've been talking a lot about conventional financing. You haven't really been talking about FHA or VA loans or anything like that. And I'll tell you the reason why. Well, first of all, VA has got a list of approved condos that they have gone through. And so if you're a veteran and you're looking for a condo, please see us and we can look up the condo and see if it's made it through the VA process. The process to approve VA condos is very lengthy. If it has not made it through the process, there's probably a good chance that it will be very difficult to get it through the process in time for them to accept an offer from you for VA financing, because it takes a good bit of time. When it comes to FHA, FHA has their own set of rules, and one of their, and some of the rules are very similar to a conventional loan, but they have an additional rule that usually ends up kind of messing everything up for FHA financing. And what that is that if a tenant or a homeowner has to go through a screening process where their credit or income is looked at, then FHA considers that a form of discrimination. And so they actually won't allow the building to be FHA approved. And if anybody has ever tried to purchase a property in Florida, especially in South Florida, but in Florida in general, most condos have some type of screening process. You know, honestly, I think it's such a bunch of BS, because FHA wants there to be no screening process of tenants or people who are buying the property. But then on the other side of the coin, FHA wants the association and the finances to be as strong as possible. So you would think that one really kind of leads to the other. So if they're screening the people that are purchasing in there and making sure they can afford the association dues, then they would have stronger finances on the other side of the coin. So to me, I think this is a horrible rule that FHA needs to get rid of. I think it really prohibits affordable housing. In the event that this was eliminated, it would open up so many doors for borrowers to be able to finance a condo with much lower down payments and to really have affordable housing. And I really hope that we see these changes. I know we've been a really big advocate for these changes and have tried to encourage these changes by writing to HUD, and certainly hope that there'll be changes in the future from the various advocacy groups that are working on things for consumers in the mortgage and the mortgage industry. So that is pretty much the discussion on condos. I know this is a lot of information. The most important takeaways are that you really have to understand that the condo building itself has to go through its own unique underwriting process. And that process is different than if you were buying a house or a townhouse that's not a condo association. And having somebody that's an expert to walk you through that process is just so valuable, because you really don't want to be stuck a week before closing or a few days before closing, or worse, even after your financing contingency has expired. So now your deposit that you put down is at risk. It's non-refundable. With somebody who doesn't know what they're doing because they didn't check these things up front, or they didn't prepare you to check these things up front, whatever the case may be, all of these things really need to be figured out before your financing contingency expires. Because after that, you could lose your $10,000 deposit. You could lose your $5,000 deposit. You could lose your $50,000 deposit. Whatever it is that you put down, when the financing contingency is up, it means you've waived your ability to say, hey, this condo has been denied because it doesn't have blah, 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 and I can't get financing. So it's really, really super important that you guys are working with somebody who's really experienced from that perspective. And then the other thing is that in reference to condos, there's some other options, like I discussed earlier. If you have a condo you're interested in and it hasn't been approved by Fannie Mae, we have a lot of alternative programs. So even if there is a problem, even if it has concrete restoration, or even if there is outstanding litigation, or even if there's no reserves, or even if there's some type of situation where the insurance is not satisfactory, we may have an alternative program that the condo could fit in. And those are all things for you to consider and to know about and to discuss with us or one of your loan officers, so that you can make a determination, do you want to go forward or not? And that way you can really judge whether or not you want to pay a higher interest rate to still be able to buy in that building, because maybe it's not Fannie Mae approved and it's probably not FHA approved as well. Okay. So that has been our session on condos. We really encourage you to check out FloridaCondoHelpDesk.com, especially if you're an agent watching this video. It's a resource tool that's just totally, really, really helpful. Please join us next week. We're going to be talking about refinancing, timing your refinance, and what is on the horizon, when are rates going to be lowered, what you should look at, and what makes sense for refinancing and what doesn't. So thank you so much for joining us this week. And please make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you get our weekly updates on videos, and keep up to date with everything at The Truth About Lending. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to The Truth About Lending. Stay up to date with all Florida loan and mortgage news by subscribing to our channel, and help us grow so we can continue bringing you insight and advice. Please like, share, and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find the links to all our social media profiles in the description. You can find extra resources on our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. If you have any questions about Florida mortgages, we are licensed and ready to talk to you today. Call us at 888-76-TRUTH. That's 888-768-7884. You can also email us at melinda@ttal.info or visit us at our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. Until next time, remember, the truth about lending is out there for you. No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.